Hey everybody, we are here today with a More the Players, a pop culture PlayStation podcast extra, where we dive a little bit deeper into a singular topic as opposed to the broader spectrum that is PlayStation. I am joined here by Seasonal Padge. He's back finally.
just a one-off.
This is just a one-off. What are we diving into
today?
For now.
Well, you guys were pretty keen to chat Saros because I had the opportunity. Sorry, Saros. I've got to correct myself. I've heard too many people mispronounce it over the years. And Greg Loudon in the little presentation that I got, keep saying Saros. I need to say Saros. But PlayStation brought me over to their Sydney offices and I went and checked out Saros for 3 hours. I got to see the first two worlds or biomes or levels or whatever people want to call it. And I've got a preview up on the Play 2 website already. Thought I'd pop over and share the good word a bit.
Oh, excellent. Well, this is one of my most anticipated games this month. It's dropping on the 30th from memory. It's the end of the month.
Yep. Yeah, 30th of April.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but were you a big fan of Returnal? Because this is obviously Housemarque's next big thing, and it's of a similar vein to Returnal. So what was your thought process going into it, knowing that maybe Returnal wasn't quite your gem the first time around?
No, I was a big Returnal fan. I'm a big Housemarque fan. I've been playing all of their arcadey stuff.
Okay.
Like going back to, I think, when Stardust first kind of popped on the radar on the PS3 via PSN. And I don't think I've really missed a beat outside of, I think, Outland, whatever it was. So, it was one that they did with Ubisoft.
You just didn't dive deep into Returnal.
Yeah, Returnal was one of the... So, like, I...
I think it came out with a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, 2021. I got through... You lot keep giving me shit for it because I wasn't in my own profile when I actually completed it. As far as anyone else is concerned, I didn't do shit. And I just had one of those kind of fluke runs in a profile that wasn't my own, and I was unable to replicate it in my own game. But to that point, some of the accessibility stuff that they've brought in with Saros makes it far more achievable, I think, for anyone, like regardless of your level of experience. I think if you're a real pro player, you're a veteran of these sorts of things, then I think some of these extra systems are going to add depth and really kind of add to the power fantasy. But if you're a little lesser skilled to access any of these games, you've still got to be a fairly decent gamer as far as I'm concerned. But if you are, you know, there's a fair contrast between, say, you and I skill-wise. Like, you've got me covered in most genres, most games, I would say. I would still say I'm probably above the average as well. But if you are, as you know, just you play games from time to time, you know what you're doing with them, you're good enough on the sticks, but might get your ass kicked by a game like Returnal, these are accessibility options. And when I say accessibility options, I mean like they've got a skill tree and some permanent upgrades that you're buying and they're spending currency towards after each run. That brings completion of this game into clear view, I think, for a lot of people, based on my experience so far. Like, I remember Returnal. I know for you might be having to scratch the memory a little bit here to work out how long it took you to beat the first region and how many runs did you have to do and all that sort of stuff back when you were playing Returnal.
I lucked out from memory. I think I beat the Returnal, like the first boss in Returnal, on my second attempt, and it was purely because I just fell into the arena and I just happened to have
the right gear, and
I just had the right weapon at the right time, and it wasn't too bad. But I wonder the skill gap between biome 1 and biome 2 was quite steep. Did you find the same thing with Saros? Because obviously you mentioned you got to play the first two biomes. I assume you got to the second one.
Did get to the second one.
A hike in the skill spike, I guess.
Look, I think so, but it was hard to get a bit of a read on it because when I got there for the first time and that run, and like, which went for a while, inclusive of the second biome, ended up being my final run before I ran out of time in the session. And that particular, because I was looking at the clock going, shit, I want to I'm getting real close to beating this boss. So I beat him on my third run in the end. Mm-hmm. Because they spend a lot more time kind of going through story and those sorts of things through this than what you had in Returnal. Like it kind of drops that in there, sprinkles that in there a bit more often. So it was my third crack at the boss, and I got through it. In the end, relatively comfortably. I was pretty happy with how that, and it wasn't, you know, luck or anything like that. It was you know, learning, like any Housemarque game, learning the patterns, learning the attack patterns, all those sorts of things, and then you know, playing it out from there. But that particular run, I had basically skipped straight to the boss. So then I got into the second biome without, you know, leveled up gear, like a bit like Returnal, how you know, you'd find better weapons and better weapons and better weapons, and they'd kind of keep building on themselves. I hadn't done that because I just beelined to the boss and then used my knowledge of its attack patterns to get me through it, which probably meant it took a little bit longer because I was using a lower powered weapon and all those sorts of things, but I grounded out and got there. And so like it made it harder. It's probably hard to get a really clear read on it. But also I think that's reflective of what the experience could be like for people, because if you beat that boss and you get into your second biome and rinse and repeat this for third and fourth and fifth and however far it goes, you will have the option of going, I want to just boot up straight away at level two or level three or whatever it happens to be, or I can start from square one and build. And so depending on which approach you take, is really going to influence the difficulty as you get further through it. Again, a bit like Returnal, because you have that ability to kind of use shortcuts to skip ahead.
Yeah.
So this is even more streamlined.
Is the level design of a similar, like akin to that of Returnal, where you kind of had, each door had a different symbol on it, and you could kind of tell if it was going to be a bonus room or a room that progressed the story or
on your map there's kind of like a little yellow indicator for your main objective pathway and a white one for any of the side stuff.
Okay.
And then like in some cases they're doors, in some cases they're kind of just open, you know, like just kind of an open passage through a rocky cliff. And there's a gap and you can pass through it, you know, those sorts of things. Like it can look a bit different. So I hadn't played it enough to identify, oh, that's the visible cube, because I also had the visible cue on the map that told me. Sure. So there's that, and you can obviously opt into some of those as well. You need there's I guess I don't know what would you call them, they're like big blue tablet, they almost look like gravestones actually, just kind of popping out of the ground. There's blue ones where you break those open, and there's you know, just a free kind of upgrade that you can choose to take or not. There's some yellow or orangey colored ones where you need a key that you'll find from some of these different blue tablets that you can then potentially break into those. And there's higher leveled stuff to accelerate things a little bit. Of course, there's the risk and reward with a lot of these, because you'll get plenty of buffs early on, and then a lot of them start to come with a nastier edge to them that start to work against you, and you've got to factor that in, which again was very
that risk very reward Returnal gameplay of cool.
So there's a lot of Returnal here, to be honest, because even you're talking about the levels themselves and the side pathways and that sort of thing. It's also got that, I can't remember what they dubbed it when they were talking about Returnal, but they basically had all of these handcrafted sections of a level, but then they would be randomly or procedurally kind of just slotted together. And so you'd be familiar with the space if you'd been to it plenty of times, but you didn't know which space you were about to walk into.
Yeah.
That returns again. There is one bottleneck, at least I found within the first region, the name escaping me in this particular moment, but I'm going to quickly scroll through my own. Oh, the Shattered Rise. It seems like there's a bottleneck that kind of forces you into this. There wasn't even really a name for it, but you've probably seen them in trailers and stuff. There's like these big hands that seem to be kind of emerging. There's like this statue popping out of the ground with all these hands, and you have to interact with it to open the door, but that also triggers the eclipse, which has been a big focal point narratively and is a big focal point gameplay-wise, because everything kind of just goes into like a frenzied state, and the stock standard enemies are so much more difficult from that point onwards. And you have to trigger that, at least in that first one, in that first region, you had to trigger that to be able to proceed, to be able to get to that boss. So, it seems like there's a few scripted kind of bottlenecks within it. They're kind of tweaking that formula just a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose. So one of the other big changes to that we've seen, especially in trailers for this for Saros, is the inclusion of a shield. Now, my understanding is it you absorb the bullets incoming that it'll charge your alternate fire on your weapons.
Yep, that's it. Okay. The blue. So again, it's very arcadey inspired. At the end of the day, you've kind of got the blue bolts that are coming at you. There's the yellow ones. Yellow ones you want to dash through and avoid. Mm-hmm. The blue ones, I mean, you can dash through and avoid them too if you want. But that's the stuff that you want to absorb with the shield, which you're right. Then kind of powers up the alternate fire, which was pretty essential to get through the Prophet, which was the first. The boss of the first region. Like you could do it old school and just blast your way through it, but it was just going to add time.
Yeah, for sure. So what kind of weaponry did you get a chance to kind of use in your playthrough? Like how broad of a spectrum of what's our arsenal look like in this comparatively?
Pretty limited to this point. Like I had kind of handguns and there was like an assault rifle style thing, a few variants of it, kind of shooting lasers as opposed to a bit more bullets as well. Like there's little variances there. But at this point, I haven't seen a huge number of different weapons, and what they were, I guess, would feel pretty familiar to Returnal players in terms of, I guess, how they operate and how they work. So it's probably a bit more of a wait and see in that particular regard as to how deep they go. I presume we're going to get things like a shotgun and that sort of thing later on. Yeah.
Did you get to upgrade them much? Because obviously in Returnal, as you use them and as you picked up those, the XP pods, for lack of a better term, for the guns, you gained mastery and that unlocked us like perks for the gun. Does it work the same way, or is it kind of like you've got X amount of currency at the end of your run when you die, you can spend those upgrading the guns, and is that like a permanent upgrade as opposed to starting from like a mastery rank going like resetting per run per se?
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
I'm watching your cat cause chaos in the background. It's great.
I can hear
So like again, a bit like Returnal, you'll find, I guess, souped up versions of maybe guns that you've already got as you progress through it. I guess as you get further through it and as you've kind of got deeper into the run, the game kind of reflects that in terms of the availability of
kind of keeps everything more power on your level as you progress.
Yeah. But at the same time, there are additional buffs that kind of play out live within your run that aren't like attached to any powering up and those sort of things you've done between runs. And that's all just tied to if you can continue to, I can't remember the exact name of it now. I'm quickly looking at a screenshot here to see if I can work it out. But like it's a part of your HUD. There's like a number bottom of the screen, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reflects the different levels of upgrades that you've got kind of available to you. And so like your weapon gets more and more potent. But if you get hit, just like any arcade game, if you get hit, back to zero. And so like often I was going into the boss with almost maxed out stuff until I decided, okay, I'm going to start to skip the stock level goons here, and I'm just going to make a beeline straight for the boss. That would be nice and high. And then I'd inevitably take a hit somewhere along the way, boom, back to square one again, which sucks, but it is part of that, it is part of that challenge.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the more permanent upgrades available to you, did you feel like death was less of an obstacle or a punishment?
Because
obviously dying Returnal was very punishing.
It was super deflating. That was probably the thing I found the hardest about Returnal, is that when you did die, and of course it's going to happen. Even the best players are going to cark it from time to time. Mm. It was a really deflating feeling because you really felt like, I know there were little perks that you kind of carry with you, but it really felt like you brought absolutely nothing back with you outside of knowledge to your next run. Here, if you do die, there is kind of the consolation of going, okay, I've got all this this currency that I can now take, and I'll commit to boosting my base HP, or I'll boost my power, or I'll boost this or boost that. Or like the next up, like one of the upgrades I got late in the run, which I was able to put to use. I don't know. We'll see what comments you make here next. That I was able to put to use was the second chance one, which is essentially the astronaut.
Yeah.
That you picked up in Returnal. That was obviously really helpful. That is going to be really helpful. And that's just a permanent thing. You don't have to go and hunt down this thing now That is, that's just something you can unlock. It's part of the skill tree. I think that is one of the, like, it's a bottlenecked one. You will have to get it at some point. Now, if you're too good in the game and you don't need it, great. But it will be something that is just guaranteed to be there for you now.
Look,
and the skill tree thing looks huge.
Does the skill tree have a, like, is there a specific terminology for the skill tree, or is it just the skill tree?
I'm calling it the skill tree. I kind of had very limited time, so I was just like, yeah. I'm playing this thing. I get what I'm looking at, but cool. a few names didn't kind of stick in my memory.
Did you get to experience much of this? Like, obviously, you played the first two biomes, or a lot of the first biome and some of the second. How was the, if you got to see any, how was the story delivered to you in Saros comparative to Returnal? Because Returnal was obviously very context clues and going through, was it Celine?
Celine, yeah.
Celine's kind of like psychosis, and that you kind of got drip fed at certain intervals. Was the story more free flowing in this case?
Yeah, this is a bit more on the nose and a bit more obvious what they're trying to go for. That said, they're not trying to bash you over the head with it at the same time. Like, it's clear that your character, Devraj, there's someone he's trying to find, but they don't explicitly state who it is. Now we know video games; it's going to be a wife. Like, it's like it became very clear. Oh, there's an important female to him that he's trying to find here, but they didn't like beat you over the head with it, and they weren't super explicit, like, I'm here because I want to save my wife sort of thing, which is very action movie video game cliche. They just kind of let you stumble upon it as you continue to work your way through that first biome, and you'd continue to find audio logs, or you'd continue to find written texts, or every now and then, like, you'd get some cutscenes from time to time. It just gradually built it out. It's not trying to smash you over the head with it, which I appreciated. And very quickly, it becomes quite clear, okay, what his motivations are really early. But then the more intriguing thing is, okay, this whole world in the first place, what is going on here, and what is this eclipse? Why does it keep triggering everything in the environment? Why do the flora and fauna lose their shit and want to kill you even more when the eclipse happens? There's all those sorts of mysteries that are starting to unfold, but there's also a lot they didn't say still within those two levels, and that's fine. I'm cool with that.
How was the level of variety between the two biomes? Were they like staggeringly different, or was it kind of just feel samey in the level design itself, and it was just the cosmetics of it were different, or did they kind of like change a lot of the layouts? Did they add verticality into the maps? Because obviously, I'm assuming you can still like air dodge and stuff like that. You could in Returnal, or have they kind of made it a more grounded style of gameplay?
No, so I was a bit concerned about that when I was playing through the first level, because the first level there was basically like you can jump, but there wasn't a huge amount of verticality. Like, they weren't flat terrain, but it was very okay. This pathway now starts to go on a bit of an incline, and then flat plane, enemies fight them, whatever. When you get into the second region, which was the ancient depths, you learn about these. They're just kind of little like metal pads that are on the ground, which you do see in the first region. It was clear, okay, there's some sort of jumping mechanic tied to these, but I didn't have access to it at that point. Learned about that in the second one, and now I can use those. So then when I'm returning to that first region again, the Shattered Rise, I'm using these jump pads to explore other nooks and crannies and find more secret paths and more upgrades and all the things that kind of go with it. So I have no doubt as we get further and further through the game, like it's very clear that there's some sort of like hookshot style mechanic that's coming up too, because there's plenty of platforms you see with this little blue thing that's kind of situated right on the cliff edge, and you're like, okay, I'm going to be able to grapple up to that at some point. I don't know when. I didn't see it. Wasn't able to do it, but it's coming. It's coming.
Didn't see the little grapple hook icon in your skill tree?
No, there's nothing like that. No, but to their credit in that regard, it's not just a, here's the skill tree, fill it out.
Okay, I was about is the skill tree like Fog of Ward, where you have to...
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of Fog of Ward, yeah.
Where you have to get the previous to unlock the next level or next tier so you can see what those will do.
It's kind of as you're moving up and you can, like, whatever's on the screen, you can start to get a bit of a sense for. You still can't see exactly what it is, but, like, all of the... in terms of like the stat based stuff, they're all color coded. So you can go, okay, that's this, that's this, that's this. But otherwise, it's largely pretty well concealed, which I appreciate. But the stuff that I was able to access in the time that I was playing was all,
yeah. So
the old wide linear where like it was kept coming back to bottlenecks. So yeah. Okay, I can go down these pathways, but it's going to converge here again, and it's going to converge here again, and it's going to converge. So I get my second chance ability and all those sorts of things. So,
do you still have access to like melee attacks and stuff like that, or is it purely
melee's arranged? There? Yeah, yep. Cool. There's enemies with shields that you have to melee your way through. Yeah. And all the while you've got enemies firing their blue shots and their yellow shots, and you're trying to dodge as well as use your shield as well as melee enemies when you get the opportunity. There's a big mini boss in the first region there that you had to tackle as well. You didn't necessarily once you kind of, I guess that whole shortcut idea from Returnal that kind of allowed you to skip from region to region, it's kind of a more contained version because you can now just choose the region you want to go to straight away off from the main base.
Yeah.
You've kind of got shortcuts within the level. And so eventually I was able to skip around the big boy, or maybe it was luck of the draw and based on where that was randomly procedurally dropped, I just didn't have to deal with him before I got to the boss. But like that's there as well. Yeah, there's some good stuff going on. I like it.
How were the boss encounters?
Unreal.
Are they still the, like those big like explosive set pieces they were in Returnal?
Yeah. Do you remember, I guess for a visual point of reference, and I'm sure, I don't know what they've shown in trails when it comes to, but do you remember like from Final, I'm going back to my very my favorite game here, thankfully, Final Fantasy IX, you dumbass, like the big, it's like the first boss that you deal with in the game when you're in the Forbidden Forest, and it's like, it's got that big, all those big tentacles, it's stolen Vivi, it's kind of trapped inside the guts. It looked like the Prophet looks a lot like that. There's big, tendrils and tentacles flying around. And then obviously it becomes very much a arcade shooter at this point. But like you kind of like the design of the bosses are really cool. All the ones that I've seen so far are really, really cool. They play really well. You're kind of mixing the primary focus obviously on the boss itself, but then some little goons that pop up that it either throws out there, or there's some targets you've got to shoot that then allows the weak point of the boss to become available. The space was quite limited. There was kind of this long grass that kind of grabs at you if you walk through it. So if you, in your attempts to avoid some of the shots that it's firing, if you find yourself in that grass, then all of a sudden you've made it a bit harder for yourself. You've got to quickly try and dash yourself back out of it. It was really cool design in that instance. And that's obviously the one I spent most of my time with, obviously.
And then
everything else is shaping up really well as well. That second region, I guess you're talking about the different regions for the first one. So that, what's its name again? Ancient Depths is the second one. Shattered Rise. Like that is far more naturalistic. You've got cliff faces and it's, rocky mountain tops. There's certainly hints of sci-fi within it as well. There's kind of that red sandy look, very, very much like, I've forgotten the name of the second region from Returnal, but it's kind of got that really sandy surface, or even like that really red sand from Gears 5.
Crimson Waste.
It's kind of got that, like the sand, it's kind of a top, it kind of gives off those vibes as well, mixes nicely with some really, lighter white kind of cliff faces and rocky surfaces. It's very striking. I'll note that I also played this on just a normal PS5. This wasn't running on the Pro.
That's good to know.
Surprised me when I went through the whole thing. Like it was rock solid.
Yeah.
But it did surprise me a little bit. Like Sony, you're not going to, best foot forward for this preview. But they didn't need to. The game looked amazing. So I can't even imagine what it's going to look like on a Pro. But then the second one actually gave off real, and I kind of put in my preview, it kind of gave off real vibes of like a cauldron from Horizon. Just metal everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
The scale of both regions is huge. Like if you find yourself in some of these, there's some kind of like temple-y spaces that you kind of walk through as you're in the Shattered Rise. Just the scale of it, the statues they have, everything looks massive, very alien. And then within the Ancient Depths, that mechanical sort of region, similar sort of deal. Just the size and the scope, you feel so small.
Yeah.
And, these games are already, like, you already feel so insignificant and death can come at any given point. The size and scope of these makes it feel even more immense, the mountain you've got to get over to get through the game.
Yeah. I guess my last question would be, obviously, with all these, with these,
and Lucinite, that was the currency I was trying to think of before. Sorry. Okay.
So, do you essentially get that from just slaying the enemies throughout the map?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's spots where it spawns as well. Especially if you go off the path a little bit, you'll find little trails of them. I'll follow these and I'll soak them up where I can. But yeah, that's what you'll pick up.
Similar to, is it the obelites from? I think it's
obelites. Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. That sounds
smack
right.
The random rocks and they'll pour out, and you use those to, because you would use them to buy stuff from shops inside the, like, during your run.
Mid run, yeah.
Yeah. Is that still a thing here as well, or is your currency purely for, like, your end of run?
For when you get out. But there must be a way to do it, because what I've noticed, like, when you die, unless it's just because, like, I hadn't withdrawn and kind of pulled out of the run, but when you die and you return to the base, like, it you know, there's a death penalty you pay from that you lose from your Lucinite. So,
you pay a death toll, essentially.
Yeah. It's pretty insignificant. Like, I come out with 800 Lucinite and I lose 150. But, like, there must be some way to extract from a run. Sorry about it. Extract from a run, because otherwise, why would they bother subtracting the 150? They just scale proportionally. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I wonder if there's an upgrade later on in the path.
Yeah, possibly that too.
Kind of like
that kills the death tax.
That kind of lowers that death tax or removes it entirely. Is there anything else that you can think of that we haven't kind of hit?
Just use your shields, people.
Yeah. Like, is that kind of like how you tackled the game differently as opposed to playing Returnal? Was that your...
Yeah. Yeah, I think if people go into this game and try and play it exactly like they did with Returnal, then they will get their ass kicked. No matter how good you were at Returnal, you will get your ass kicked.
Yeah,
they will throw enough, like, and I'm thinking again of the Prophet boss, where there was, you know, like, the size of some of the attacks that throws at you are so vast that you couldn't just dash out of your way. Like,
well, I think
most of the time,
I think using the shield as like a power up system for your alternate fire kind of makes people be like, oh, just because, it makes you use the shield to benefit yourself, as opposed to being like, I don't want to use the shield as a crutch to try and make the game easier for myself. Like, this is not just a way to lower the difficulty level of the game itself. It's a mechanic that's been baked into
actually to make you feel more powerful, to lean into the power fantasy of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think it works really well. But yeah, use it, people. It's. I'm sure we'll see by the time when the game comes out, we'll see people doing no shield runs and all those sorts of things. I have no doubt about it. But
sure there will be.
But I think to really extract the most fun from it, embrace those systems that are there.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Well, thank you again for joining, Padge. Thanks for coming back, taking the time. You can check out our regular scheduled show for the players. We stream on either a Sunday or a Monday night, depending. But the show does come out every Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. on podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. Padge is sometimes in and out, seasonal, always will be.
I'll be back come summer, and probably back to gloat a little bit more about the draft, the way things keep going.
Summer Padge, tanned, guns out. It'd be great.
Get the rig going.
But this, again, was More The Players. This was talking about Saros from Housemarque, and that is dropping the 30th of this month. See you next time.
See you guys.